W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. There were mostly peaceful protests across the country over the weekend after the Memphis Police Department released body cam video of Tyre Nichols beating at the hands of five officers during a traffic stop. He died 3 days later. Memphis Church Pastor Gilbert Washington.
We're praying for that young man's family, for his loved ones, for his friends. They're hurting. And we're hurting as well.
CBS's Jared Hill.
A February 17th bond arraignment hearing has been scheduled for the five ex-officers involved, according to Shelby County online court records. Each faces multiple charges, including second-degree murder.
Officials in northwestern Pakistan believe a suicide bomber targeted a mosque in Peshawar today, killing at least 27 worshippers and wounding as many as 147 others. The BBC's Caroline Davies.
A police official told the BBC that part of the mosque's wall collapsed with the force of the blast. Lady Reading Hospital in Peshawar has declared an emergency. They told the BBC that they were still receiving those injured in the explosion. Unverified images on local media show half a wall caved in. The mosque covered in bricks and debris as people clamber over the rubble to escape.
In Cairo today, camera snapping away as Secretary of State Blinken met with Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi. Blinken says he raised concerns about human rights issues ahead of a meeting in Jerusalem with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to discuss a new surge of Israeli-Palestinian violence. The Chiefs and the Eagles are headed to the Super Bowl.
Racing around the edge, Scott is in! Touchdown, Philadelphia!
Philly crushed the 49ers 31-7 to win the NFC Championship on Fox. Eagles coach Nick Sirianni.
This is something we all dream about, and we get to do it because, you know, we did it better than anybody else in the NFC this year.
The Chiefs beat the Bengals 23-20 to take the AFC Championship, Super Bowl 57, a week from Sunday in Glendale, Arizona. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and President Biden will go head-to-head over the nation's debt ceiling when they meet Wednesday. Republicans insist on budget cuts before they raise the borrowing limit. Speaker McCarthy telling CBS's Face the Nation.
I want to make sure we're protected in our defense spending, but I want to make sure it's effective and efficient. I want to look at every single dollar we're spending, no matter where it's being spent. I want to eliminate waste wherever it is.
The president insists negotiating over raising the debt ceiling could trigger a recession. No school today in Woburn, Massachusetts. Teachers like Eric Scarborough are on strike.
It's unfortunate that we have to do this, but you get to a point where you've been pushed too far.
S&P futures down 35. Dow futures off 205. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, February 1st. In Wood County, the Conservation, Education, and Economic Development Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in Room 114. In Portage County, the Portage County Public Library Board of Trustees will meet at 4:30 p.m. at the Portage County Annex Building in Conference Room 5. The Stevens Point Park Commission will meet at 6:30 p.m. in the Community Room on Michigan Avenue. In Adams County, the Board of Adjustment will meet from 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Adams County Community Center. The Planning and Zoning Committee will meet from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Adams County Courthouse. Family Storytime at McMillan Library takes place from 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. Family Storytime at Portage County Public Library starts at 10:30 a.m., aimed at preschoolers, but all ages are welcome. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy overnight with a low of 2 above. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 21. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Partly cloudy skies again. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 10 above. Chance of snow Thursday with highs in the upper teens. Overcast Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 5 above.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Life, look closely. What do you think that means?
I think whoever was assigned that did not finish that assignment.
Look closely feels a little too vague to really implement into your daily routine.
What? Nigel, are you the one who put look closely on the list?
What does that
mean? What does it mean?
Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Happy Tuesday. Welcome to the noon hour, our second hour of our Tuesday show. We are trying to see if we are our guest. We can hear our guest now that we're back. Mr. Jerry Deshane, can you hear me? You can hear me, but I, for some reason, cannot hear you. So we're going to actually ask you to call in on your cell phone to 844-967-2789. And I am going to set up the conversation as you are going to call, and Jane is going to pick up the phone. But I read this recently in Wisconsin Public Radio, printed, Urban No More. Census reclassifies dozens of Wisconsin places as rural. And so basically over 40 different places in Wisconsin now have their definition going from being considered urban to being considered rural. And we wanted to invite Jerry Deshane, who is the executive director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, to come on because I just was interested as far as what the implications of this are going to be. And because I think when it comes to funding and understanding more as far as what does it actually mean to be considered urban or rural? Is it just our interpretation of that, or does it actually come down to different funding that happens? And so it's 844-967-2789. And so we're just going to buy a little bit of time because technology is always fun. And so we are, I think we are have Mr. Deshane on the line. All right. We got it. Jerry, how you doing?
I'm here. I'm alive.
Well, I saw that you were alive because I could see that you're in the stream. I just couldn't hear you. And so we are going to have to figure that out after the show, but that's okay. We will figure it out. How are you doing today?
Other than kind of running around like a crazy person saying, okay, try this headset, try these earbuds. And then you rattle off that phone number and it's like, wait a minute. 62-year-old man, I can do 6 digits. I cannot do 10 digits in one saying.
I totally feel you. But thank you so much for being patient with us. Thank you for joining us today. So as I said, we are now in a place where 42 different places in Wisconsin have been reclassified. And this is, from what I understood from the article, it's not because necessarily from the census. Is it because there was a population decline or because they changed the definition?
Well, what they did is they went to these little towns like Winneconne, and they jacked up all the houses and they moved him across the road and dropped him in a cornfield. No, this was a statistical move only. It affects about 3% of the population of Wisconsin, and it was because the U.S. Census Bureau changed the way it defines what is rural and what is urban.
And so,
are you still awake, Kristen?
No. You underestimate my desire for all things nerdy when it comes to stuff like this and trying to make it fun, because I think this is important as we talk about. I mean, one of the big things I care about and I talk about a lot on the show is Wisconsin's population and how most places besides Dane County are pretty flat as far as their growth rate and trying to attract people to move here, trying to keep people to stay here. And so when I saw this story, I was like, oh, this is super interesting to me, because you know, sometimes you need to make, you know, what this means for mayors when it comes, we've talked a lot about shared revenue. And so what do you feel like? Because I don't know if you, when I read this at the time, you necessarily knew what the implications could be or will be, but what do you think it could mean for some of these cities that have, or villages, towns that have changed what they're classified as?
Okay, so, and I have to admit, right up on the front end, the answer is we don't know.
Yeah.
Nobody really does. When the Census Bureau did this, and this is something they've been pushing to do for decades, they thought their old population threshold was 2,500. If your population was below that, you were rural. If your population was above that, you were urban. And, okay, if I live in Winneconne or Pulaski, do I care? Probably not, but Here's what we're worried about. If most economic development organizations kind of fear the flyover effect, and what they're worried about is, does changing designation of, you know, Algoma from an urban community to a rural community, does that make it drop off the list when it comes to economic development? We know that national economic development firms tend to look first at only urban areas. So does that make it a little harder for our middle-sized cities and villages? I don't know.
Yeah.
Algoma's got a lot going for it, right? Competition for grants is another area where, frankly, what this move did was really made it more competitive for all of the other small cities and villages in Wisconsin to compete for grants. Because now all of a sudden they've got about 45 more competitors who are frankly bigger than they are. Again, will it have an effect? The honest truth is nobody knows, but the worry is maybe. So.
And so in the meantime, I mean, what is the best things for different, you know, smaller to mid-size, like we live in Milwaukee, so obviously there's a different set of problems there. But for my parents live in Wisconsin Rapids, which I think is above the threshold, but still a small declining town. Our stations are in towns all over Wisconsin. So as far as for different places that at one point were really thriving and had a lot of jobs and a lot of community culture, but just because of the way that consolidation and globalization and so much of like what trying to help smaller towns thrive, what, as you know, your job is so much is to help them connect them with each other, but like what are some of the things that are helping them thrive at the level and population that they have?
Like you mentioned, connections. Tomahawk is on the list. They went from urban to rural. Well, Harley Davidson makes motorcycle bodies in Tomahawk. There's a connection there. Reinforce that connection. There are housing shortages and workforce shortages all over the state. So if I'm, let's say, Fink and Terry, the big shipyard up in Marinette, they need every one of those little rural villages that surround Marinette, they need them to supply workforce. So a lot of it is stay networked, stay plugged in on a regional basis. Wisconsin's economy has always been regional. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at commuter maps, people move back and forth all the time in Wisconsin anyway. And frankly, a lot of us, we like the fact that we're kind of, we're Milwaukee and we're Madison and we're Green Bay, but we're also, you know, we're also Peshtigo, we're Crivitz, we're Antigo. I think we need to embrace that and stay plugged into one another.
I love that answer, because I feel like that's also, at least with civic media, like the bucket list and the road trips that Jane and I have planned to go all across the state. Because even I was from Madison, I now live in Milwaukee. My parents are in central Wisconsin. But there's so many parts of Wisconsin I haven't even gotten to know yet. And the different, like the different cute towns and small villages and stuff that make the state awesome. And trying to, I mean, a common thread of this show is rising tides lifts all boats. And so the ability to make those connections. And, you know, I'm friends with Zach Verwink, who just joined your team, right?
You are friends with Zach Verwink?
I am.
Oh, boy.
He was on the show back in August, I think he came on the show.
He didn't tell me. See, he never tells me anything. Zach is the chief operating officer of the league. For those who don't know, former mayor of Wisconsin Rapids. And, you know, he's better looking than I am. He's smarter than I am. He's younger than I am. All of which adds up to, I don't know why we hired the guy. I really don't. But did you know he owned a computer consulting company when he was 15?
I did know that.
His mother, true story, his mother would take him to appointments, which I think she still does. I should ask him.
But I guess so. That's probably a good segue as far as what he does there, what you guys do. But for people who are unfamiliar with the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, what is kind of the core of the work that you do as far as providing the connections we were just talking about?
Yeah, I would say our work boils down to three different parts. And we're 125 years old. Yeah, no matter what Kristen may have told you on the phone, I was not here when we were first created. So we do three things. First and foremost, we get local leaders together. Because you talked about it, Kristen, that networking is critical. Wisconsin is a very dispersed state. We live all over the place. There's 605 cities and villages. We get them all together. We do an awful lot of educating. We have a website that's got over 1,000 pages of beekeeping ordinances and urban chicken ordinances and alcohol licensing manuals. And then the last thing that we do, we're located in Madison. So obviously we work with the governor and the legislature on funding issues and road aids and all of the things that affect local governments.
Which I think most people don't even know that you guys necessarily exist and how much of a resource you are for what right now is a lot of places are struggling. And I mean, I don't know how much you want to touch on the shared revenue and how much you're hoping that that 20% sales tax is something that can come in and help. But I would imagine that coming out of, you know, a potential in this year's budget, it would be a huge help to so many of the different mayors and city councils that you work with.
Yeah, we don't need to spend a lot of time on it. I mean, heaven knows we've got this fascinating U.S. Census Bureau statistical change that we need to delve into. But no, seriously, I think legislative leaders of both parties and the governor, I think everyone understands now that the system's broken. How we fund local government in Wisconsin just doesn't work for the long term. We're very optimistic. We know the Speaker of the Assembly is working hard on fixing this. The majority leader over in the Senate, they've got the backing of the governor. Now it's a matter of putting all the details together, and we're sitting on the sidelines going, go, 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 and so far so good.
Absolutely. All right, well, we're going to take a break really quickly. Our guest this half hour is Jerry DeShane, who is the executive director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at easterseals.com.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life, but for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Got Jane Matinere on the board. Our guest this half hour is Jerry DeShane, who is the executive director of the Wisconsin, the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. And we're talking about the riveting information, which I find riveting, which is the reclassification of 42 different places in Wisconsin going from urban to rural and what that could mean. And so kind of just as a refresh. And so what's the best case scenario versus the worst case scenario for these different places?
Yeah, best case scenario, and you can hear me, by the way, right? My computer's giving me a dirty look. Best case scenario is nobody cares. 5 years from now, it doesn't make any difference to hospital reimbursement. It doesn't make any difference in federal grant competition. It doesn't make any difference in competition for economic development opportunities. So that's the best case scenario. Worst case scenario is they get hit in all of those. And unfortunately, we're just not really going to be able even know for sure if this is the cause of it.
All right. And so do you feel like this is how high alert should people be on this? Is this something to be worried about, or is it something that you think we'll wait and see?
At this point, it's too late to be worried about it. It's a done deal. It's a fact. It's kind of baked into everything now. Where we are going to be watching it at the league is when we see grant competitions coming through, where there's a split between rural category and urban category. I think our smaller communities are just going to have to step it up a little bit because there's going to be a few more people competing. The large communities have frankly never really had a problem competing for grants. Where you just can't tell is economic development. You know, what makes a company call Algoma or Broadhead or Cambridge, or what makes them not call? That's impossible to know. So we talked about this earlier, Kristen. Our small communities have always had to talk a little bit louder in order to be seen and heard. And we've got to do that. I mean, we got to get on these podcasts that are going around the state, you know, and talking up local governments. You know, whenever you see them coming through town, shoot out their tires, make her stop, that kind of thing. So,
well, that's actually a good plug. Who should we get on the show? We've had Dan Devine was on last week, so we talked to Dan. But who else would you recommend as far as... We had Mayor Katie Rosenberg on, but...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Those are the cool ones. you need to have Mary... You need to have... Well, I mean, come on. Dan Devine is like the mixture between Ted Nugent and Julia Child, right? He's the only mayor that got elected to office saying, feed me. I love that guy. Mary Motive up in Bayfield. You want Mary? No, not Bayfield, Washburn. You want Mary Motive on?
Okay.
That's one of the smallest cities in Wisconsin, and she is just really, really cool. There's so many cool places in Wisconsin. Get over to Stockholm, Wisconsin. That's on the river. It's the Mississippi River, and it's this funky little enclave of retired University of Minnesota professors. So it's a population of about 70 people, and I think they're lying about that. I think it's actually less. But
so definitely rural. They're not. They definitely didn't. They weren't on that list of 42 that got reclassified. Oh. They've been classified.
They're never going to get on the urban list. And that's the other thing, Kristen. A lot of these communities, they couldn't care less what you call them. Yeah. I mean, whether they're rural, whether they're urban, the median-sized city and village in Wisconsin has a population of 1,500. They're all rural to some extent. But get out to the small ones. That's my advice to you. Don't stop. Mayor Rosenberg, she's Janie Cosmopolitan. You know, that's a big city by our standards. You got to get outside. You got to get to Marathon City, which is a village, which is really confusing. But it's in her neck of the woods.
Do you have a call? Not that you are endorsing anyone, but as far as obviously our spring elections are here. We have a primary in 3 weeks, and April 4th is the general. And this is when our municipalities and local government is elected. So do you have, without endorsing anyone, a call to action for the importance of being aware of who's in your local government and the role that they play, and a plea to have people to remember to vote both in the primary and on April 4th?
Boy, let's see. At least two or three of my board members are up for re-election this spring. So I sort of stay away from that. But what the league does, we actually have two pamphlets that we put out there. One is for people that are thinking of running for local office. And I think the headline is something like, so you want to be a local official. And then the other brochure that we put out for those people who have won, I wanted to call it, oh my God, I won, now what do I do? But it's, first of all, we've got to have people serving at the local level, and there aren't enough. It's one of these things where everybody should take their turn.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we definitely put the word out. And frankly, if you're on a local village board or city council or you're thinking about it, give us a call. I'll send you one of the pamphlets for free. And it kind of helps give a flavor for your job, which is, it's just good homegrown work.
Send me one of those. I don't know if I'll run anytime soon. I'm a little busy, but I will definitely, I think having that information and knowing what it is would be good. So I would love to have one. I'll follow up with the address.
Okay, do you want me to send you Milwaukee nomination papers, too?
No.
I can do that.
I definitely don't want to do it. I've done that. My my husband ran for mayor last year, and I had to help get signatures for that. And so I think I'm good. I'm going to think about sticking with the radio thing and making jokes on air. But Jerry DeShane, thank you so much for spending time with us today. You were so fun. As more information comes out as far as this story specifically or other stories, you are always welcome back.
Well, and Kristen, thanks for having me. I enjoyed the conversation, too. And if you get lost out there, let me know. Give me a call. I'll let you know where you are.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Thank you so much. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Jason Joyce will be here.
The Shaw. From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you. I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. I overdosed on heroin, and I lived. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. My desire to change had finally outweighed my desire to stay the same. I felt powerless for so much of my life. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. For the first time, I finally feel like I'm exactly where I should be, where I want to be.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple yet so, so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio WFHR.
Data shows that after a child turns 9 in foster care, they are much less likely to be adopted. But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes every child is adoptable.
Families, if you're able to let your hair down a little bit, there's a lot to learn from teenagers.
The clock is ticking for teens at risk of aging out of foster care. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crudités at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were crudy takes.
Crudies takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Struggling with icy conditions on your sidewalk today? Salt won't help much in these below-zero temperatures. The extreme cold makes it harder for salt to break down the water molecules in the ice. Stronger ice melts, such as magnesium or calcium chloride, work better, but they're even more harmful to the environment. Too much ice melt is impacting our waterways and damaging the infrastructure in cities. Experts recommend chopping through the ice instead. A complaint's been filed against Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Janet Protasiewicz. The complaint alleges Protasiewicz is violating Wisconsin's code of judicial conduct by talking about her positions on issues like abortion, same-sex marriage, and redistricting. Those issues might come before the high court. A UW law professor tells the State Journal Protasiewicz has not crossed any lines. In sports, the Bucks host Charlotte tonight. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy overnight with a low of 2 above. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 21. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Partly cloudy skies again. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 10 above. Chance of snow Thursday with highs in the upper teens. Overcast Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 5 above.
A little bit to end the show yesterday, but our next guest gave me one of my best compliments still to this day. Back in April 2020, when I had just made April 1st, 2020, so was it April Fool's Day, and I had put out another video trying to show people how they can be a witness when people are trying to isolate, because it was the very beginning of COVID. And my grandmother was in it. My mother was in it. My mom made some joke about touching her face. She was classic Debbie. And Jason Joyce, publisher of The Isthmus, retweeted the video and said, one, these are great. Two, the Bry women are doing more for democracy here than many, many of our elected officials. And it was truly one of the nicest things I think anyone had said to me. So Jason Joyce, I'm so excited to have you on the show today. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin.
Thank you. It's so great to be here. Yeah, that's, wow, that was a while ago, huh? 2020.
Well, that's, you probably forgot that you wrote that, but I remember because I was like, I was just blanketly, blindly putting these videos out into the world. And I, you know, I was like, I don't know who's going to, I was like DMing people being like, will you please retweet this? And you did. And so and here we are. And so now we're going to have a conversation about media and nonprofit media and Madison and the news and democracy. And so let's just start with, you are the publisher of The Isthmus, which is 47 years old?
Correct. 1976, April 1976. So,
and it's gone through some changes because I grew up in Madison, always seeing the actual physical square Isthmus where you could pick it up. But now, and that was, you know, at some point it was, it's always been independent. It's always been alternative, but now it's a nonprofit, right?
Correct. So, yeah, I mean, nonprofit media, you know, to take a step back, nonprofit news, you know, text newspapers, maybe not so many that are printed, but nonprofit news has been with us for a while now. And it, you know, people started really exploring it once the traditional business model for news kind of really started collapsing. I mean, and that goes back 20 plus years at this point. Isthmus paid a lot of its bills for many years. My former boss, the founder of Isthmus, Vincent O'Hearn, is, you know, wintering in Palm Springs right now, largely because people in Madison needed to sell their bikes and cars and sublet apartments, you know, took out classified advertising for many years, along with a lot of other businesses and restaurants that advertised. But classifieds really made money for newspapers for decades and decades. Alternative papers like Isthmus also ran personal ads, which were a particular cash cow and brought in a lot of readers, you know, along with a lot of money. But that model, you know, started falling apart when Craigslist came along. Facebook and Google, you know, dealt it a further blow, you know, moving into the 20-teens. And it just became less and less viable. And COVID was the knockout punch, really. The business more or less collapsed within, in Madison, really, within like a week. You know, everybody that we rely on for advertising dollars who is in the arts world and entertainment world suddenly had nothing to advertise and no money to advertise. So Isthmus essentially went out of business, and rebooting it as a nonprofit just seemed like the most sensible thing to do.
And so, and you were, when it first was, I guess, kind of what started to look like it was going to go out of business, you were at the Cap Times, and then you made the decision to come be the publisher of Isthmus. So talk me through more of like, what, why take this on?
Well, I love Isthmus. I was an intern at Isthmus in 1993. I went to work at Isthmus in 1998 as the digital media director, which is a job I had for 15 years before I went to the Cap Times. Alternative journalism, I fell in love with it in high school, learned that you could actually like get a job there and do that as a living in college. And, you know, it's really all I ever, the only kind of journalism I really ever wanted to do. It's been in my blood. I've met my wife working at Isthmus. Like, it's really like a big part of my family.
Got it.
So when, you know, I had been talking to the former for-profit owners about coming back, they wanted to bring in more people with more journalism experience to help out on the business side. And, you know, that obviously sort of fell apart, but talked to Judy Davidoff, who's the editor and president of our organization, and Dylan Brogan, who used to, you know, who worked with us just up until a couple months ago, about what they were doing, and just kind of stayed in touch with them and more or less said, I want to be involved. Like, I want in on this. This sounds like so much fun, and, you know, we need to do this. You know, in many ways, when you strip a business down to zero, it's funny, you know, people talk about zero-based budgeting, like, oh, we should really do zero-based budgeting. Governments talk about this and businesses do. Well, we, in fact, actually did it. We were forced to do it. Like, let's build this company back up from ground zero, take away a lot of the expenses that we had, you know, felt like we had to have an office in downtown, people to work at reception, things like that, and, you know, built this newspaper back up just from the essence. sense. And, you know, that's hard work, but it's really, really fun. And it's like, you know, it just takes me back to when I worked at the Badger Herald in college. And like, boy, you have to build up a staff every semester. And
yeah.
That.
We're talking to Jason Joyce, who's the publisher of Isthmus, about journalism and independent journalism and the Isthmus and being a nonprofit business model. And so where do you feel like, because in our correspondence of getting you on the show, you're in touch with other independent nonprofit media outlets that are chose to go this route versus a for-profit route, which, you know, is either going to be a membership or sell advertising. And so what have you seen as far as, because obviously a couple years later, Isthmus is still thriving. It's around. There's a new issue that we're going to talk about before the end of the half hour as far as what stories are coming up for the February issue. But where do you feel like is the right fit for an outlet to be nonprofit versus where does it make sense? Like it might not be the right fit and to stay either with like a membership or sponsorship or advertising model.
The number one thing for us, and this is true, I think we've seen in other markets. I mean, there's the sort of the nonprofit traditional, if you can use that term, model is really small, really narrow focused, you know, outlets, people that write just about development or maybe just about politics or just about local politics. There are organizations called Institute for Nonprofit News and Lion that serve those groups. We're a little different because we're still general interest. So if you're going to be general interest, you're going to be about a place, you know, hyper local is a term that gets thrown around a lot. You better have a really good relationship with your readers. Well, Isthmus has built this relationship with our readers for 47 years. We hear all the time from people, I've been reading you since the first one. I've been picking up Isthmus since 1976. You know, I met my wife in the personals. I've got jobs out of the classifieds, whatever. We really hear from all those folks. And so that relationship is key because we went to something they picked up free, and many of them have picked up a free Isthmus every week for years and years and years. And you know that it's always been a theory in business, like, boy, you can't give something away for free and then ask somebody to pay for it. We went to all those folks and said, please support our journalism by becoming a member, by paying $10 a month, $120 a year or more to support what we're doing. And so that trust is huge. Like people knowing what we are and what we represent and that we're going to continue to be that for them if they support us. The other interesting thing is, you know, in many ways, it's a lot like public broadcasting. And, you know, public broadcasting has their way of pitching, you know, for membership. Ours is a little different. We've never given away any sort of premiums and said, mm-hmm. you know, you pledge at this level, you get a tote bag, et cetera. We've really just said, the benefit of contributing to us is that you keep us around and that you keep another, you know, newsroom paying attention to what's going on in the city, whether that's local government, arts groups, you know, the food and restaurant scene, whatever. So it was a gamble in many ways to say, hey, will you support us? And people have. It's just overwhelmingly cool and you know, gratifying, sometimes emotional, to get checks from folks which arrive in our post office box every week in addition to the online membership program that we have.
And it is, I mean, and because Isthmus is an institution, and I think there is Madison being from there, Madison likes Madison, right? And there are certain things sure. that people don't want to see go away. But I also think it's interesting as far as for new media, whether it's a Substack or a Patreon or independent journalists who are trying to continue, like there's all this, like kind of this no man's land right now for journalism. And how do we continue to get good fact-based journalism out and have it not be a free endeavor of I'm dear as my labor and not have this expectation that, you know, you have to pay for content because there is so much free content out there. So do you feel like there is, without that existing relationship like an Isthmus has, that this is the model of just convincing people that there is value in this and that is worth some of your extra dollars because it keeps you unbiased, it keeps you serving the people who are actually keeping the lights on because they believe in what you're doing. And so, like, is there, do you think this is kind of the future of independent journalism, of people going through this route and just tapping into the people who appreciate the work enough that they're going to keep you in business?
I do. I think that that's, you know, that's critical, that you know, like, as I've been talking about with classified ads and personals, people have been supporting Isthmus for a long time. People have been supporting our journalism. They just haven't been, it hasn't been, you know, sort of sold to them or explained to them, like, this dollar is going to go to pay this reporter specifically to write these kinds of stories. And that's what we're learning. People really want, you know, to hear that. They want that conversation. And I think what, in many ways, what our model is doing that the traditional advertising supported model didn't do is we're much more in direct contact with our people now than you might be at a corporate daily. You know, yeah, you might, you'll get the occasional voicemail that you don't really want to listen to, or you'll get, you know, a letter to the editor will find its way to your desk. But, you know, we're in touch with our people constantly. And, you know, the best organizations we're trying to do this, we want to know what they want, what works for them, what resonates with them. You know, we have a few email newsletters, which is still, I think, an emerging form in our world. It's a more intimate relationship that you have when you're, you know, communicating with someone in their inbox, and people reply to those. It's amazing. It seems like it's maybe one-way communication, but when you have an email that winds up in someone's inbox and your name and email are on it, they give you feedback right away. And so that, you know, that's real work, but it's not that much different from, you know, traditional journalism. It's funny. I just read an article the other day about how to build trust in order to do man on the street interviews, because a lot of people don't trust the media, you know, and especially in underserved communities, they haven't been around reporters very much. So, you know, having these conversations and trying not to be extractive, try to be participatory and really work extra hard to establish that trust is what good journalists have always done. And so just paying attention to that part of our profession is big.
Absolutely. It's so funny because when I hear man on the street interviews, I immediately think of like Billy Eichner, like yelling at people. Yeah. Definitely not Billy building trust with anyone.
Right.
And like comedians right. trying to get a funny take they could put on the TikTok. But that's super interesting, especially what you say as far as trying to have journalism that reaches underserved communities that aren't necessarily feeling like they are represented in the news or that the stories are well told. And so continuing reaching out, whether that's Milwaukee or Madison and places that aren't always the subscribers. And so when we come back with Jason Joyce, we're going to switch gears a little bit and hear a little what some of the stories that are coming out in this month's issue, or I guess next month's issue, since tomorrow is February. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting MakeTheConnection.net.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting and thriving, like basketball analyst Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Join our team in the fight against cancer at V.org.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Of
bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. I am Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is Jason Joyce, who is the publisher of the Isthmus and longtime 30 years of reporting in Madison.
Yeah, I mean, I worked at the Badger Herald in my first story at the Badger Herald was 1991.
Okay, that is, yeah, that is, so.
It's a long, yeah, I won't date it anymore.
No, that's, I mean, that is, but that is a long, did you grow up in Madison?
No, I grew up in the Twin Cities, but I came here for college like so many of us do.
Yes, exactly. And so I guess, we air in Madison at night, so this isn't live in Madison right now, but we do have the replay on WTTN at night. But, you know, Madison's an important place. It's my home. I'm very split now between I love Milwaukee, but there is something, especially coming in on Washington Ave and seeing the Capitol emerge, because I'm always coming from the east side of the state and being like, I'm so happy I'm from here. So with that, as you guys on February 2nd have the February issue coming out of the Isthmus. Right. So I guess what's going on in Madison these days, Jason?
Yeah, only a few things. we're teeing up the primary election really this month. We call it, it's funny, we call it a cover story, even though we don't put stories on the cover anymore. We feature original artwork on the cover, but it's our big story, long read story, by Bill Leaders, long time, used to be the news editor at Isthmus for many, many years, and was as a another Milwaukee Madison guy, one of the founders of the Shepherd many, many years ago.
Oh, okay.
And so he breaks out the Supreme Court election for us in detail and in the way, you know, only Bill Leaders can. In many ways, he represents the ideal Isthmus writer in that he's not afraid to bring a strong voice and his experience to his reporting. So that's our big story, but we also break out. We have a mayor's election coming up as well, and that's part of the. There are three candidates, so that's going to be part of the primary as well, with our incumbent Mayor Saatchi Rhodes Conway running against a pretty strong challenger in Gloria Reyes and a political newcomer, a guy named Scott Kerr, and they just had their first debate last night. So this is rising in people's consciousness now. It's funny, people go from 0 to 60 on these races, and that's happening right now. So that's on the news side of things. And then, you know, we always have a pretty strong commitment to covering arts, and Gwen Rice, who is our theater critic, but also a very strong and authoritative voice in arts coverage, has split a story up between last month and this month, and that she's talking to arts organizations about their challenges coming out of the pandemic. A lot of people don't realize this, but most, you know, certainly in Madison, most of our arts organizations are also 501c3 mm-hmm. nonprofits. They're really run by businesses with attention to the bottom line, but coming out of a time when they had to suspend production and couldn't sell tickets and maybe lost, you know, they're in a town like Madison, they're always sort of scrambling to retain talent. What are their big challenges? And this month, she focuses on the music and dance nonprofits. And, you know, I've been amazed. I've in this new role that I've had as publisher, I've been able to meet a lot of folks who lead arts organizations, executive directors. There's so much innovation happening in that world. We talk about serving underserved communities. I think a lot of these arts organizations really prior to George Floyd, but certainly during 2020, really felt that, criticism from communities of color, and they've taken it seriously and invested real time and money into changing their staff, trying new things artistically. So we're in touch with a lot of those folks. That's, I think, pretty interesting when we have these kinds of stories.
It is super interesting. And I know similarly in Milwaukee with UPAF and on the 14 different member organizations they have, and it'd be actually good to get an update because I know since we started this show talking about this was going to be a pivotal year for them. And I'm sure it's a pivotal year for a lot of arts organizations across the state, across the country, as far as money drying up, that kind of shuttered venue and a lot of the grants and stuff that was available, and that is going away. And so really needing people to support and get back and put butts in seats and go appreciate the arts, because it's very important.
It's critical. It makes our cities really what they are. It's why we want to live in cities. And, you realize these ecosystems don't just run on their own. Requires a lot of support. That's one of the things that we've pitched to some of our members, which is, support for the arts is actually more than just buying a ticket and going to see the shows. It also includes caring enough to cover them and, covering them not just critically saying whether this play is good or not, but like, what's going on? What are they doing differently? What have they done to change their operations? And people are really interested in that stuff. So keeping that conversation vital is a big part of what we do.
And just to close out, because we did talk about it a little bit here, but there was some drama in Madison a couple of weeks ago as far as new zoning. Is there been a decision on that? We spent a lot of time, but I feel like the Madison Twitter that I pay attention to was up in arms. And so there is a decision, right? That there is going to be new zoning laws.
They're revamping zoning along transit lines. We're about to introduce bus rapid transit, which is like a bus version of a train sort of. And so along those routes, they want to allow neighborhoods to people to build duplexes in what have traditionally been single family lots. And boy, that's a generational divide. That's a wealth divide. And it really, again, new voices we're hearing, folks who have lived in Madison and have seen their rents, skyrocket are speaking out. They've sort of had enough. So we've been part of that conversation. I've been really proud of what we've been able to do there and thrilled that we're part of it. But Twitter's a funny place. Housing Twitter and transit Twitter are super active, and the people who are involved in those conversations are new, I think. They don't represent the stereotypes that we're used to seeing, and that's fun.
No, that is super fun. Urbanist Twitter, whatever you want to call it, as far as the people who are very adamant about population density and public transit and all the things that make our cities and put people first instead of cars first. I would never call myself an urbanist, but I find myself agreeing with them more than I disagree. I think we have to let you go. This is so fun, though. We'll have to have you back because I think we just scratched the surface as far as I feel like where journalism is going, how to support local journalists, how to share stories. I say it all the time. I couldn't do my job because I editorialize all the work that you guys do, right? Like, I'm not out there doing firsthand reporting. And so to be able to get on air and talk about things that are happening in Wisconsin every day, I totally rely on local journalists like you, like the Isthmus. So Jason Joyce, thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Thank you so much, Kristen. It was great talking to you.
All right. Well, have a great day. We'll have to have you back soon. And for us, that will do it for the second hour. We'll take a break for the top of the hour news. And when we come back, funny ladies that inspire us. We got some clips, so stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, 1 in 5 Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges, but many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry